So we were just kind of going through where we are in terms of this series, and we spent a long time in the spring talking about rest. So rest, the rest that God commands in the third commandment. Is that all that the third commandment commands? We're gonna break that out, huh? You'll find it in Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5. Because he restates it. They stated it when they were starting. They convened the community of believers in the desert at Mount Sinai. And then Moses restates the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy as they're about to enter into the Promised Land. Without Moses. So that's why it's restated there. Thoughts? What does the third commandment command? Go ahead.
Actually, it's the fourth commandment.
Well, we're having some debate about that, right? In terms of when it's broken down, okay? I don't really know how they're numbered properly. Do we have them listed somewhere? Anyway. And it has to do with the way that you break up the statements in the Ten Commandments. But anyway, in this commandment, it talks about the Sabbath. So, yes!
So, remember the rest, the Sabbath, to keep it holy.
Yes.
It's holy.
Okay. So, it's about keeping the Sabbath holy. Okay. And that's about the rest. Is there anything else in that statement? Here, I'll read it to you, okay? I actually put it on your worksheets just so that you know. 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest. And the son of your servant will... Oh, that's from Exodus 23, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, let me get out Exodus chapter 20 and I'll read it from there. So, Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 8. There we go. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Kind of a long statement, right? Do you see anything else in there besides the command to rest? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work! Okay. There's also a commandment to work. And, you know, that's really, it's easy to overlook because you get focused on that he's commanding you to rest, but the Lord also commands us to work. So, this commandment covers both work and rest, and a lot of the point that we were making in the spring was that there has to be a balance, right? That God gave us the Sabbath rest, that he gave us different seasons. There are times for working harder, times for working less. There's times for being awake and times for being asleep. There's a day to plant and a day to reap. God kind of worked into his creation some rest for our labors. But I think the first thing that we got to ask is, because definitions are important, right? And that is, what is work? What is work? Any thoughts? Or tell me about your work. Somebody tell me about their work.
Something that it's kind of like you're required to do it, you need to do it.
Required to do it, need to do it. Okay, that's good. Okay, so work is something of a requirement. Is rest also a requirement? So that isn't quite the distinguishing factor to work, is it?
It's tired.
It's tiring, okay? Work is tiring. It requires effort, okay? So doing work requires effort. I think that's primarily what distinguishes it from rest, is that it requires some effort. Jolene has something.
I think it might be something that produces an income, because I think that, like, on days when we are resting, you might go play football and feel tired. But it would be considered a maybe a more recreational, possibly. So that's like dishes, which I would like to classify as work, and I think it's a type of work.
So, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the first part of the sentence.
Oh, so
doing dishes.
Okay.
Having to do dishes on a Sabbath, which I would like to classify that as work, but it's not a work that's generating
income. I think there's certainly some sort of an idea that work has something to do with income, okay? But there's also something to say that, well, if we're doing something and it's tiring, maybe it's kind of work, even if we're not getting an income from it, right? Mm-hmm. This is part of the reason for having this discussion, right? Is we got to kind of figure this out. What do we mean when we're talking about work?
Proverbs says that a sluggard feels like it's work just to turn over in his bed.
Okay, is turning over in your bed work? Is turning over in your bed work? I'm kind of thinking it's probably not, right? I think that's kind of the point of the proverb, is that, hey, that is not where work starts when you turn over in bed, okay? There's something more to it, so something more tiring than turning over in bed. It requires a certain degree of effort, and might I suggest that maybe it's a sort of a sustained effort, that I can't work in 3 seconds and I'm done. That's not really work. Okay? You have to do something over a longer time than 3 seconds or 1 second or whatever. Yeah, Chuck.
I think I would go back to Genesis 3.
Okay.
Verse 17. At the end of that verse, it says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life."
Okay.
Not just a temporary time, but all the days of your life.
So I got two things out of that. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I heard that it was painful. Work is painful. And I heard that it's ongoing. That it's not something that you finish. Or that we're looking toward being finished with anytime real soon.
It's not one and done.
It's not a one and done. Work is an ongoing thing. Well, you know, I mean, so is rest, right? I mean, 6 days you work, on the seventh you rest. And 6 days you work, on the seventh you rest. Work, rest. It's an ongoing process that we're not to expect will be over anytime soon. Okay? We'll talk more about Genesis 3 and why that's important about work here in a second. But yeah?
Well, work is what we're commanded to provide. And so we're kind of income, but provide our responsibility.
It's a duty.
Yeah.
Okay. So would that distinguish it from rest? Is rest a duty?
I think this is about provision, right?
Yeah, it is.
So it's about providing for your family.
Okay.
Right? Or providing for yourself.
Provision?
Or some type of provision. Duty in terms of, like, rest. Yes, we're called to rest. Yes, we get that. But, like, provision, like, if you just rest all the time, you're not providing.
You're not going to provide what you need to provide.
You're not providing shelter.
Listen,
anything else. All that stuff needs to be done through work.
Let me just bring this back to you once again, okay? Let's see. It's actually not in. It's not in that verse. It's in this verse from Exodus 23 that I read to you, that explains the purpose of rest. Okay, it says 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. Okay, the rest has a purpose. The purpose is refreshing. Okay,
Let me put it this way, okay? Provision, work, is a responsibility. It's a duty. Rest is a gift. It's a grace. And that's why the Lord says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is, we don't earn our Sunday off. It's a gift. It's a grace. By God's grace, we get the Sabbath off. We get to rest. We get times of refreshing. That's all grace. It's not something that we earn. Okay? And the focus of the Sabbath is on appreciation for the grace that you've been given. So you thank God for the grace that you've been given. You focus upward in gratitude to what you've received, okay? Whereas when you're working, your focus is kind of elsewhere, right? What are you focused on when you're working?
Your work.
Your work. You're focused on your responsibilities, okay? There's this idea, okay? So I think if we want to get at a working definition for work, let's say, I would say that income probably is not essential to work, okay? Let me just preface that by saying, you know, back when work was instituted, there was no money, right? Okay? Money is a modern conception, and it does something about work that we'll probably get into in a bit. Okay? But there wasn't money at the start. You worked because that was what you were supposed to do. So God put Adam in the garden to work it and to keep it. He didn't pay him for it. So it didn't have anything to do with income. And Adam's place in the garden wasn't a place that he earned. Okay, the rest that he got in the garden wasn't rest that he earned. So income is related to it in a way, but we're going to put a little circle around that because we'll have to come back to that. Okay, income is important, but it's not essential to work, and there's a lot of work that is done that doesn't generate income. All right, that is okay. If your work doesn't generate income, it is tiring. Okay? It's tiring to do work. And the fact that that God built rest into it in the beginning, you know, God created the earth in 6 days and then he rested, okay? That the rest cycle is built into the work cycle suggests that the tiring nature of work is probably intrinsic to work, okay? So work probably is intrinsically tiring. Now, this painful nature of work, where did that come from? That's where I think Chuck is at.
Came from Genesis, yeah.
That comes from the fall, okay? So work is not intrinsically painful and frustrating. Work is painful and frustrating because we are sinners in need of a Savior, okay? Because we are rebels against our Creator, and so He has set the creation in rebellion against us to show us what it's like to be rebelled against, okay? I'm kind of guessing that human rebellion is a little painful to God. I'm pretty sure it was painful to the Lord. In fact, I know it was painful to the Lord. So, yeah, there's some pain involved in work, but that's not an essential, I think, component of work. It's tiring, but not necessarily frustrating and painful. Okay? Ongoing, the ongoing nature of work, what do you think? Is that intrinsic to it?
Right.
So ongoing and tiring is intrinsic to it. And then this idea of duty, okay? Why is it our duty to work? Is it the duty of my dog to work?
Because it said in Genesis 3, all the days of your life.
Yes, it did.
It says in Exodus, On 6 days you shower.
Yeah? Is it my dog's duty to work?
Made it an image of God, you know, with all your experience.
Okay. It probably has something to do with the image of God. Remember, in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, God rested. Therefore, man shall work for 6 days and rest on the seventh. Why? Because we're God's image bearers. Bearing God's image is our purpose. Okay? What does it look like to bear God's image? There's a couple of good answers to this. You can...
Work.
Okay, so working does bear God's image, but we're trying to circle around to get some more insight onto that. But you're absolutely right. Working does bear God's image, which is why we work.
Dominion over creation.
Okay, so dominion. Okay, part of it has something to do with dominion. Okay, so work has something to do with dominion. Those with dominion must work. Okay, so partly it's dominion. Okay, any other things we can think about with the image of God for work? Or how, what does the Lord require of you? That's Micah 6:8. To do justice,
love mercy.
And walk humbly with your God, okay? So that's what's required. Somehow that's required in being image bearers, okay? So justice, mercy, okay, and humility. Okay? So justice, mercy, and humility. How does that image God? Justice, mercy, and humility.
More.
Okay, so morality, okay. When we say something's right or wrong, okay, like my dog doesn't pronounce, well, I don't have a dog anymore, my cat doesn't pronounce something wrong or right or wrong, they just, what is, right? And they deal with it, okay? Whatever is. Okay, we've got this sense that there's a way things ought to be. Okay, and we get that from our image of the Creator. Okay, so work has something to do with the way that things ought to be. Okay, if we're going to image our Creator, okay, it has something to do with dominion over the earth. Okay, it has something to do with justice, mercy, and humility. Okay, so all these things are kind of wrapped up in work. Now, let me ask you this: what is the greatest commandment? You know that one. Okay. Love is, that's a great summary of the first two, right? All right. That's a great summary of all of them. Okay. Love has a lot to do with it. Okay. So the first great commandment is?
Love God
with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay. What does that have to do with work? Not much. Okay. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay. So obedience has something to do with respect for God and the order that He's established. Okay. So it is kind of God focused. Okay. I guess when we focus on God, though, what does God need from you? Does God need your work? He doesn't need your work?
No. He needs your work. He doesn't need anything. Huh? He doesn't need anything, but he wants our worship.
He wants your worship by working and resting. Okay? He wants that. Okay. Why?
Because he's God. As he says.
Okay. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the way God is. God loves God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're going to image God, you're going to be like him. If you're going to be like him, you're going to like him. Okay? Because he likes himself a lot. Okay? He takes great delight in his majesty and glory and honor and perfection. He is, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God. The creation is a set piece to demonstrate his majesty. He loves to show you what is good, what is excellent and perfect. That's God, okay? To focus on what's good and excellent and perfect, that is good. That is imaging God, because that's what God focuses on. God is God-centric. Okay. The second commandment is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. I think this is the key commandment that describes work. Okay. It is our duty. It is our responsibility to love our neighbor as ourself. It's not good enough for me to put my hand to my mouth and put the food in it. That's not good enough. People count on me. Okay? I have a responsibility. Why do I have a responsibility to feed others? It's a dominion over the creation. Okay. We've been put in the garden to guard it and to keep it and to work it. Okay? Because it's wrong to accept help from others without giving help yourself. Okay? We do need each other. Okay? Let me give you an example. I need some extra, well, do I need it? I don't know. I'm going to get some extra kitchen space in there to store my stuff that I cook with. Okay? But I could make some structures to put the stuff in that I have. But this is not acceptable to my wife. Do you know why?
It's not pleasing to the eye.
It is very unpleasing to the eye. I am not gifted in the construction of household furnishings. I am not. Okay? And so I need somebody to come in and do that for me. Okay? And when they do that, they are working. And they're working to help me. Now, I pay them because the workman deserves his wage. Okay? They deserve to eat. Okay? Now, I could just trade them. I could say, well, I will work for you by giving you health care, and then you work for me by making me a cabinet. That would be fine. But it doesn't work out very well that way, right? Because maybe they don't need health care right now, and I need a cabinet, but the guy who needs health care makes donuts or something. Okay? So we got to figure out a way to, you know, make this, to lubricate this so that everybody gets what they need, okay? But yet we're all working in love for one another. So actually working, you know, when God worked, when he created the universe, when he made he made plants, and then he made animals. What did the animals need? They needed the plants. And then he made us. What did we need? We needed the animals and the plants, okay? He made the earth and the air. You know, all these things are kind of dependent on one another. And that's the way God set it up, for us to be dependent on one another, but also to serve one another, okay? Now, so that's what I wanted to say about the nature of work, okay? So work is something. Let's just kind of summarize that one more time, okay? It's kind of tiring and ongoing by design, okay? By accident, it is painful, okay? By our position, it is our duty because of our dominion and morality, because we have a love duty to others. And so work is part of the way that we image God by loving others through our work. Okay? Now, We told you, I told you already that I'm a, I was, I've told you this many times.
The eraser is not going to work.
So I've told you many times that I had I come from a Catholic background, and you know, kind of along the way in the medieval church, okay, there was this notion that what was good to work for God would be to have a vocation, a calling, like Pastor Aaron has, okay? That if your calling, if your work is to serve the Lord in the church, that's a good calling, okay? And then other work is secular work, and it's not, God doesn't care so much about that, okay? So we got work that's for God's church and secular work, good work and work, okay? Lesser work, so kind of this two-tiered system. And, you know, that's part of the issue with the Reformation is that, hey, no. We're a priesthood of believers. We're all working for God, okay? So just this idea that work isn't, you know, the fact that you work somewhere besides in the church here doesn't mean that your work isn't honorable or honoring to God, okay? So, important thing that we think about with that, okay, work, does work have anything to do with your identity, so I say? What do you do? Hi, I'm Guy Ruckel, I'm a doctor. I try not to say that because that's not helpful, but I do let people know that I'm a doctor when I'm going to treat them, though, because they want to know that.
I was going to say a lot of people who don't know the Lord and use their work as their identity.
Okay, so is that only because you don't know the Lord? That's my question. Let me read this verse to you here. I pulled this one out. There's a lot like it, though. Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Okay, this is Jesus as he's rejected at Nazareth. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not all his sisters here with us? So Jesus was the carpenter. Like, for 30 years, that's all he was, as far as anybody knew. He was the carpenter. The son of the carpenter, right? So, to an extent, it does determine who we are, right? Jesus was the carpenter. Luke was the physician. David was the king. Nathan was the prophet, right? Our work does have something to say about who we are. It's part of who we are, you know, I do think that's relevant, okay? Now, the question is, is some work better than other work? What do you think about that?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Defend your position. Why would you say that some work is more important than others?
There are some professions that are sinful.
Okay, so maybe some work is really bad.
Yeah.
So some work is not good.
Yeah.
Okay? Or some work is worthless. Okay? And we're going to talk about that in a second because you're absolutely right. There's definitely work that's worthless that you really should not engage in as a Christian. And we need to be able to identify what that kind of work is. Okay? So some work is worthless, but assuming it's not worthless, okay? Does it matter if I am the janitor who scrubs the toilets or if I'm the pastor who leads the assembly? Does it matter?
No, because instead of in the church, I mean, it talks about the body, like your hand and your foot and your eye all work together.
That's the verse from Corinthians. Right. So foot can't say to the eye, I don't need you. Okay. The point is that all work, assuming it's not evil work or non-work, okay, which we'll talk about, has dignity. Okay? That God doesn't care what your station is in life. He does not. Okay? On the other hand, should Dave be scrubbing the toilet? Should Dave spend his time scrubbing the toilets?
Probably not.
Why not?
I think he's getting more fortunes.
Okay. So there probably is work that has more impact than other work. Okay? There's also I can scrub toilets. I can make cabinets. I'm just not very good at making cabinets. And I do scrub toilets occasionally, not very often though. You don't even know how often I scrub the toilets. So, because I mess them up. Okay. So, but here's the thing. Okay. We have certain things that the Lord has gifted us with. We have gifts that the Lord has given us, and inclinations, things that we are drawn to, that we like to do, or that we're skilled at or talented at, or maybe that we're trained at. You know, Dave went to school to become a minister. So did Aaron, okay? Went to school, studied hard, worked hard to get information so that he could do this job that he has, okay? So it's an investment that, you know, you're expected to make good on. Have you heard the saying, with great power comes great responsibility? Who's that a quote from?
Uncle Ben.
And who was Uncle Ben talking to?
Spider-Man.
Okay. This is a Spider-Man quote. But did you know that that's a biblical concept? Did you know that? Okay. Turn to, let's see, Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Who wants to read that for me? I know there's a lot of verses in Luke's chapters.
I can read it.
Okay.
12:48.
Yep. I know it doesn't start out the way you expect.
But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much is given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand even more.
Okay. The Lord gives gifts. So gifts are what the Lord gives you, your talents, your ability to love your neighbor, your ability to work for your neighbor, your ability to serve your neighbor. He gives them according to his own will and purpose. And he does not dole them out equally. Not fair. Okay, but he doesn't. Okay, the Lord does not dole out gifts equally. He doles them out as his Spirit wills. Okay? But to the one who has been given a little is required. To the one who has been given a lot is required. Okay? You are expected to produce a harvest from the gifts that the Lord has given you. And that harvest is a harvest of good for your neighbor. Okay? So what you really, we need to be striving to do is to serve the Lord in to the best way possible by making use of the talents and gifts that he's given us and the opportunities that have come our way. You know, Aaron got the opportunity to go to seminary. Now, it wasn't handed to him with a silver spoon in his mouth, I'm pretty sure. Okay? But he did get that opportunity. There's a lot of men who might be just as smart as Aaron, and just as talented, and just as hardworking, who will never have that opportunity because maybe they were born in another country where you're not free to study in the seminary. Okay? So the God, you know, they're not expected to fulfill the responsibilities that Aaron has as a pastor because they haven't been given the opportunities that Aaron has been given by the Lord. So, you know, the Lord opens doors, the Lord shuts doors. Okay? The Lord is in control of your work and your opportunities. Okay. We talked about the impact that you can make with work. Corporate element. So, in general, work isn't something that we do in a vacuum, right? We usually do it, maybe part of a team. There's no I in T-E-A-M. I've heard my share of corporate stuff. Okay. But, yeah, sometimes we work together with other people as part of a team. And is that a good thing? Yeah. Okay. Because, you know, as Proverbs say, you know, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Okay. Because work is tiring and ongoing and painful. And we're weak. And sometimes it's hard for us to keep up with all the work that we have to do. And we can strengthen one another by working together. So there's a corporate element to work. But what does that introduce? The fact that there's a corporate element involved in work. Conflict. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, if two walk together, it's good if they're going the same direction, right? But maybe we're not going in the same direction, okay? We may not agree. We may see things differently. And so there's conflict that arises, okay? That's part of it, okay? Another problem, just because we don't, you know, it may not just be because we don't see things the right way. We may see things just exactly the right way. But I might decide, well, yeah, but I want that promotion. I don't want you to have it. So I'm going to sabotage your work and make myself look good. Does that ever happen? Okay. So sin enters the workplace, right? I mean, you know, and work, you know, just like we were saying, that work can be good or bad. Corporate work can be directed to good or evil purposes. And a lot of times it gets misdirected to the wrong purposes, right? First major building project I can think of in the Bible is the ark. But no, Cain's descendants built cities, and, you know, invented metallurgy and all that other kind of thing. So corporate work has been with us for a long time, but shortly after the flood, everybody got together, and what were they going to do corporately? They're going to build a tower to the heavens, right? We're going to rebel against the Lord, who said we're going to spread out over all the earth. They go, yeah, we're going to spread out all the earth. We're going to spread out vertically over the earth. We're going to spread out right here. Okay? Ain't going nowhere. Okay? So, there's a degree of rebellion built in also to our corporate work, okay. And then centering your work on God, okay. So if God, you know, if we have this duty to love God and our neighbor, what part does God play in the way that we work? How is God involved in our work? If I'm working to help my neighbor, and I'm going to get paid for it because, you know, so I don't starve, or so that I can meet my responsibilities as a father. How does God enter into that?
He's glorified.
Okay, how is God glorified in my work?
We do it as Colossians 3:23. Yeah, Colossians 3:23 that we do it.
That's right. You work heartily as to the Lord. So, you know, everybody works heartily when the boss is watching them, right? Hey, guess what? The boss is watching. No matter what you're doing, the boss is watching you because his eyes are all are on the whole earth, right? So, you know, you are doing it in God's face, whatever you're doing. And that should prevent you, okay, from doing shoddy work, okay? So if I deliberately don't work as hard as I should for somebody because, yeah, it's not worth it, I'd make more doing something else. That's wrong, right? Because you're doing it before the Lord. So it should be a guarantee against doing less than your best, because all that we do as to the Lord. Okay? And then, the quote from... Yeah, I'm not going to put that one in there. Okay, so work and frustration. We know about the fall, that work is subject to frustration because of the fall. We got thorns and thistles. The work that we're doing resists us. It fights back. Yeah, it's always three steps forward and two steps back. It's such a truism that it's hard to believe that people don't always just see that, right? That everything falls apart. You build stuff and it breaks, okay? You get something new and it has a piece that doesn't work. You set up your internet connection and it won't talk to the router. There's always something that goes wrong with our work, and that's because of the frustration built into us as a reminder of our rebellion against our Creator and the fact that we are frustrating His designs by not cooperating with the program. So, whenever we get frustrated with our work, that's kind of a good reminder. I wanted to talk one brief digression here. Everybody knows the Lord's Prayer. Let's all say the Lord's Prayer. Okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay. Do you believe that God answers that prayer? Okay. So when I say, give us this day our daily bread, who gives me my daily bread? The Lord gives you your daily bread. How does God give me my daily bread? Didn't I work for it?
Give us the opportunity to work for it.
Okay. One, He gave me life and breath and everything that's in it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wasn't able to do anything without the Lord enabling me to do it. Okay. So the ability that I had to make my daily bread, okay, is of the Lord. Okay. And God also made that farmer who grew the wheat, gave him the ability, gave him the seed, gave him the rain, gave him the ability to grow things, the ability to harvest things, gave him his harvesting equipment, gave the person with the trucks that brought it to the mill, and the miller that milled it into flour, and the baker that baked it into bread, and all that stuff. All those people worked to bring me bread to my table, right? That was all part of their work. And yet, that was God working. What that means is God works through means. Okay? God uses us, our work, as the instruments of His blessing. Okay? He doesn't just poof and miracle bread on my table. I mean, He can do that, right? He did that for 40 years in the wilderness. He had manna come down from heaven, and they got bread from heaven, and He just fed it to them. So He can do that, but He chooses not to. Okay? The Lord chooses to use His image bearers to provide the daily bread that He is providing as the means. So that's God's providential control over the world. So, kind of getting back to this issue of income, Okay? The world thinks we work for an income. Right? And, you know, that's why you work. You work so that you can get money, so that you can, you know, have a good future and a good house and a swimming pool and a retirement, and whoever dies with the most toys wins. Okay, that's the worldly way of looking at work, right? But not true, okay? We work in order to serve others, and we're provided for as we do it by God's grace, as they work to provide for us as well. So, you know, that's the difference between between work and just, you know, making an income, having an income. Okay. How much do I want to talk about vocation? Let's just talk for a second about it. You've heard the term vocation? Okay. What does vocation mean? Okay. Vocation is work?
Your job.
It's your job? Vocation? Vocational training? Vocation? Job training? Job? Work? Job? Okay. Vocation comes from a Latin word. Voca. Okay. Vocation. Vocation. Okay. Think about this. Okay. If I talk about vacation, okay, that's being somewhere where I've vacated where I normally live, right? I've gone away. Vacation. Okay. Let me think about some other synonyms. Rotation. That means that I'm in the process of rotating. Right? Rotation. Celebration. That means I'm in the process of celebrating. Meditation, that means I'm in the process of meditating or thinking. Transportation, it means I'm in the process of transporting. Okay? What is vocation being in the process of? Voca being called. Okay? I'm in a vocation to which I am called. Okay? The Lord calls you to a vocation. A vocation is a calling. Okay? Now, trick question, maybe. How do you know what your vocation is?
Because it's what you're doing.
It's what you're doing. That's right. That's right. So you're in your vocation because when God calls you, you come. God's call is, to that sense, irresistible, okay? So you're in the vocation that God called you to. And that means that you have certain responsibilities based on your office or your calling, okay? And your calling might be a job, okay? So I can say, hey, my calling is I am a physician. I'm called to be a physician, okay? And I do things as a physician that you don't do if you're not a physician because you'd go to jail, right? Okay, so I have certain responsibilities. I also have certain privileges that I'm allowed to do as a member of that vocation. Think about before, okay, I was in the Army. Okay, I was a physician in the Army, so I did kind of a lot the same thing, but I also had a weapon. And I was expected to shoot people with it if I was told that that was what I was supposed to do. All right? I'm not going to take a weapon and shoot anybody now. One, I don't even have a weapon. I think my wife has one somewhere, but I don't know where it is. Okay. But it's not okay to shoot somebody if you're not a soldier and you're not... And even if you are a soldier, it's only okay to shoot someone when you're supposed to shoot them. You just can't go shooting everybody, as, you know, certain soldiers have found out when they took their gun and started shooting their fellow soldiers, right? So there are rights and responsibilities associated with the calling that you're in. But is it more than just your work? What other callings do you have? Think about some of the things that you do that are tiring, ongoing, and painful, and a duty that you have that maybe you're not paid for. Being a parent, okay? As a father, you have a vocation as a father, okay? And I'll tell you what, for a couple of decades, it's really tiring and really demanding, okay? Now, I'm still a father, but my vocation as a father is a lot less demanding than it once was, okay? And as a parent, you have certain rights and responsibilities that you have. You're supposed to correct your children. Somebody else is not supposed to correct your children. You're supposed to correct your children, right? You're supposed to bring them up in the knowledge and the discipline of the Lord, okay? That's your job, not somebody else's job, okay? Not somebody else's responsibility, because that's your vocation. Other vocation, yeah?
I think sometimes your spiritual gift and like what you use in the church might be different than what you do for your income base.
So you're saying you might have something that is a vocation in the church?
Well, no, I'm just saying, so for example, Scott's a carpenter.
Yes,
but
he
in
is.
In the church, he's an elder.
He's an elder.
So he's not going to be paid to be an elder, but it's a different...
But it isn't like he doesn't get any work, is it?
Right, exactly. Okay. Exactly. So right. I'm just saying, like, just because maybe you're a teacher in the public school doesn't necessarily mean you're a teacher.
And he has responsibilities as an elder that he doesn't have as a construction
right.
worker, okay? And when construction needs to be done in the church, maybe he does it,
right.
but maybe he doesn't.
Right.
Because he also is responsible as an elder to do some other things, okay? Maybe somebody else could do the construction work at the church, okay? We have different, maybe you teach Sunday school, or, you know, maybe you're running a women's Bible study group, or, you know, we all have different things that we're called to in different circumstances. Let me just add one other thing, okay? We have an unusual form of government in this country, okay? We're a government of the people, by the people, for the people, okay? What does that mean?
A lot of people.
Well, there's definitely a lot of people, but there's a lot of people in governments that, there's a lot of people in China, and they are not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. What's the difference?
Election.
Okay, what about elections?
You
can
vote for who represents you.
Okay, so you actually have a responsibility as a citizen in this country to govern this country, okay? And that responsibility is voting or any other activity that you take place in the civic sector to try to better your country, right? This country is supposedly, at least, under the rule of the people that it governs, and we're responsible for the way that it's ruled. Okay? We have a responsibility. We have a vocation. Okay? We are called by the Lord to do what we can to see to it that our country is governed the way that it ought to be. We have to do that as to the Lord and not as to men. Right? We have to do it with a clean conscience. We have to do what is right. The same thing happens if you happen to have a job in the government. I think we've probably covered enough. We've got like 2 minutes left. So just briefly to cover what we talked about today. We talked a little bit about what work is. Okay? How it's different from rest. How it's incorporated into the work and rest cycle. How our work is part of our ability to image God. We talked about the fact that our work is part of what we do as image bearers of God, and it's part of His providence that He uses our work as a blessing for others to provide them with their daily bread, that He is providentially providing through us, okay? And we talked about the fact that Our work is what we're called to do by the Lord on the basis of what our role is in society. It wasn't always a matter that you could pick what your job was going to be. Sometimes it was selected for you. Maybe you were born a slave. But you work diligently as to the Lord. Okay? I think that's pretty much what we talked about. So, any questions about any of that before we quit? I think next time we're going to talk about a little bit more about locations, I think. But before we do, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've had to spend together. We thank you that you have given us meaningful work to do. We regret that it's frustrating and hard and tainted with sin. But Lord, we're grateful that you've come to free us from the dominion of sin, to offer us a better way, to offer us a way to please you, you offer us a way to bless our neighbors through our work. Help us to be steadfast in our attempts to do that, to work in a way that honors you and glorifies you, not as man pleasers, but as God pleasers. So we ask these things in your precious name.